Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Knicks trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining. And the Pistons call timeout.
So Jalen Brunson's three, if you haven't seen this highlight.
Woo.
Yeah.
Skates.
The guy covering him should be, is he not been memed into eternity right now?
Oh, my goodness. I mean he went for a ride.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I don't know who that is from the Pistons. It's not one of their top players that I would be familiar with. It's not Cade Cunningham, for instance.
Well, the Knicks advance.
Which, by the way, if you watched NBA playoffs this year, Cade Cunningham is going to be a dude you need to know for the next 10 years. That guy's awesome.
Jeremy and Joe, we're talking fashion a little bit. Bill's schedule comes out in 12 days, and we've kind of kicked around the idea of what could this rivalry's uniform be, if you are unfamiliar with what that really is. So on Friday of the draft, we found out that the NFL is going to be adding rivalry uniforms. A rivalry's uniform and stuff that we would buy, too. So it's for fans. They're doing it to sell jerseys. Announcer in the draft, rooted in local community insights. Quote, the designs have been brought to life by pulling inspiration from the history of each market and the aspects of the community that only that team's city embodies. The uniforms will be included in each of the team's uniform lineup for the following 3 years, adding to the existing alternate uniforms they might have. Other teams participate in future years, but it's the AFC East and the NFC West that start it out. So the uniforms to be revealed before the first rivalry game, with the designated games to come after the schedule release May 14th. So the schedule comes out on the 14th. After that, they designate the games. Mm-hmm. And then the uniform, maybe that doesn't come until September, October. I don't know.
Oh, like we won't.
It says before the game. So before the first rivalry game, the uniforms are going to be revealed. Maybe that game is one of the opening night games or opening weekend games. Monday Night Football could be, you know, Seahawks Cardinals or something like that. And mm-hmm. here are their rivalry uniforms, and here's the full set of rivalry series uniforms. So,
yep.
What would a Bills uniform that is brought to life by pulling inspiration from the history of the market and aspects of the community that only Buffalo embodies? That's the task.
That only Buffalo embodies.
Right. And Joe has taken to an online AI image generator and come up with some not great options.
I'm working on, I cannot get this thing to spit out something that looks like the ice blue blizzard style uniform that I'm thinking of, but I've got like a fall themed uniform where the Bills are wearing like an orange that kind of turns to red, kind of a little bit of a gradient style uniform.
People are going to hate this thing, aren't they?
This jersey?
Process? This, whatever it is, no, you're going to hate it.
Don't poo-poo new uniform process. Too much of that going on.
Everyone's going to turn into...
You're the kingpin of this. Like, hating on new uniforms and new logos.
I agree it's fun.
If it's bad, you get rid of it in 12 months.
I defend uniforms. I don't defend team names. That Giants 100th anniversary that was red with like the Wolverine-style helmet, I defended those.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't defend names like the Kraken, and I'm also not going to defend the Mammoth when Utah goes to that.
That's fair. But like soccer, for instance, like you have a new away kit every single year, and Liverpool wears neon green 1 year, and everybody hates it, but it's okay because they're only going to wear it for 1 year because we'll get something new next year.
Right. If you don't
and then
like
you
it,
like that one where if, it's marble.
If you don't like it, just wait.
Exactly.
Yeah, Arsenal had uniforms that it looked like a blood spatter on their chest, like someone had murdered them. They had that at one point. They called it like the killer uniforms. It was crazy. Google it. Arsenal murder uniforms.
Did they lose like all their games like 8-0 when they were wearing them?
803-0550. Bill in Buffalo. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. Good.
Good. I actually had an idea, I think, that would really embody the city that maybe wouldn't be a regional idea either. I think they should do something related to the Erie Canal or our history with the founding of electricity and how to use it for like streetlights and different things like that. I think it would be a historical aspect of the city. And at the same time, it would put on display something really unique to the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the city flag, of course, is, you know, themed in that way. So something along those lines would be, I think, very cool.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I wonder about it, though, it's will it have to be, would people watching know, oh, that's the Bills playing the Dolphins? Versus, like, these MLB City Connect uniforms, half of the idea is you would turn on a game and say, who's that?
Mm-hmm. And you're questioning the NFL will want to do that to the same degree?
I wonder. The red uniforms the Bills wear are pretty sweet. And when they wear, didn't they wear red tops and white pants this year for the first time ever? Which at one point people said they thought the Patriots were red tops and white.
Did they wear it this year?
I think they did.
It was for the Patriots.
Yeah. Yes.
They wore red tops, white pants.
They called it the candy cane uniform.
That's right, the candy cane. The candy canes. And they've got their stormtroopers when they wear white on white, which I like quite a bit. They went through the white face masks. So,
yep.
I don't know. It's. I'm very eager to see what they ultimately look like. What does Miami look like?
Miami, they could do sand? The Vice idea. They could do beaches.
Sand,
or
beachy. Like the Rams wear that bone white. Maybe Miami wears some sort of sand inspired. Who knows? Brandon and Medina. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Two comments. One, I hope whoever designs it is not the guy that's been designing the draft day hat. They've really missed the last few years on those. And then a uniform idea, if it's against Miami, something that says, I wish it was colder with maybe some snowballs on it.
There you go. Guys. Yeah.
Did you just wear a Squish the Fish jersey?
It's got to be some snow. It's got to be a snow theme. I wish it were colder.
Yeah.
A gradient. People love to make. People hate gradient.
I'm doing a gradient one right now. I got some gradient autumn Bills jerseys.
Would you get the autumn out of here?
Fall is elite Bills uniforms.
No. They look like the Browns.
They don't look like the Browns.
Get me a blizzard inspired or a sub zero inspired idea.
Okay.
Or if you want to just type in like chicken wings and snow and Niagara Falls and see what it pumps out.
You want to just mash it all together?
Yes, all of it.
Can I get a beef on Weck sandwich in there too? Let's just stuff everything that we're known for just into one logo.
What will the Jets be? A skyline? Something like that? What will the Patriots be?
Jersey swamp.
We get to do the whole AFC East.
Okay, the Jets. Yeah, Jets a skyline or... Right, New York. I mean, you could do a billion things with New York.
Won't the Rams? The Rams are in this. NFC West is in this. Won't there be some sort of spotlights or Hollywood or something like that?
Yep.
Who knows? These are all tough things to guess.
New England could do. Again, like the way they've kind of laid it out makes it so up in the air.
Open to interpretation.
Subjective to anybody for what you would want to do, which means. I mean, it could really be anything different. The teams could, you know, I'm sure they would have some say to Nike and how this process is going to go. And they might all want different things. So one team might do it one way and the Bills might do it this way and the Patriots might do it that way. So I don't know how much, of the same you'll kind of get, even just by the theme.
Yeah. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550.
I think I like the gradient idea. I like the gradient idea. Yeah. Ice blue is our favorite. Ice blue blizzard thing, like where there's no red, there's no like of the regular Bills blue, but it's like a white uniform and the logo would be like ice blue and white. Instead of like more of a royal blue
sure,
and red.
I want a Bills uniform that looks like it's inspired by the Game of Thrones, The Wall.
Like, yeah.
You know, winter is coming. I want a winter is coming themed Bills rivalry uniform with Miami.
Yes.
Because that's the other thing. If it is tied to Miami, that matchup is, we like it when they have to come here in December. Unless, of course, you want to go where it's not, you know, to Miami in December because it's nice out.
Right.
You've never been to Miami, right?
Nope.
The road schedule.
I got to get that on the road schedule.
The road schedule this year, you know, 12 days, we'll know the whole road schedule. The road schedule this year should produce a lot of wins for them and not a lot of great.
Not a lot of great trip opportunity unless they go to Dublin.
Unless they go to Dublin to play the Steelers, which is that likely? Are the Steelers not enough of a draw? And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign with the Steelers.
Well, that's the thing. Sal had talked about this with Mike North, I think, a little bit, and Sal on his own, maybe more so, that, you know, like the timeline of things and like player storylines. So Rodgers in Pittsburgh, like the Steelers going to Dublin, and I remember the original rumor was it was going to be Steelers and Packers, right?
Yep.
In playing in Dublin. And then that cooled a little bit, and the idea, I think, for a lot of people was, well, are they going to want to do that if Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh? Not even necessarily because of where the game is, but Rodgers' first game against Green Bay. You want that at 9 a.m.? Or do you want that as a primetime game? Or even in a national 4 o'clock window? You want to put that on in the morning on NFL Network? That was the skepticism with that, but he hasn't signed in Pittsburgh. He might not sign or decide what to do by the time the schedule comes out, so at some point they have to make the schedule and say, we just have to pretend Aaron Rodgers doesn't exist and make the schedule as if he's not going to play this year.
And how good does that game have to be?
The Dublin game?
How good? Because
I don't think it has to be amazing.
That's the thing.
Pittsburgh's already.
For a while, you just got games thrown over there. Somebody's going to play the Jaguars. You're going to get bad matchups. Two teams with losing records. Not that impressive. And you're Pittsburgh going to Dublin. And you know, the Steelers are probably a global brand.
Sure.
Do they want to just throw the Bills in there? Josh Allen. People get up and watch Josh Allen play. It's possible. It would instantly become the Bills' best road trip of the year if you're a fan that wants to travel.
By far.
The other ones are the division, Houston, Atlanta, Carolina. And
I'm sure there'll be a million Bills fans in Carolina. But that a lot of that will be transplants that already live there.
Yep.
And the rest of those, no, like this would be another year where if you want to do a trip a year like Miami. If you've never done the Miami trip,
yeah,
because the rest of the road schedule then rotates. I mean, they're back in Houston again.
Back in Houston.
I've not been to Houston, it's not like I ever hear like, oh, you got to go to Houston.
I never
for the trip.
No, never hear that.
Yeah,
they go to Cleveland.
Really, I mean, Pittsburgh, if it's not in Dublin, will be one of the better trips.
Mm-hmm.
It's drivable. Pittsburgh's great. I love Pittsburgh.
Next up, we'll go to Steve. Steve's up here. Steve in Texas. What's up, Steve?
Hey guys. Uniforms, is there a tasteful way to pull off the Zubas?
Oh,
definitely.
Is there a tasteful way to pull off the Zubas?
Standing buffalo with Zubas?
Here's the question I would have about Zubas, Steve. And, you know, we're all here, so because Zubas was for every team, right? Every team had it.
Yeah.
Did Buffalo just like it the most? Was it a bigger thing here than other places?
I don't know. Down here in Houston, I mean, you talk about Zubas and no one has any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know that. The history of the Zubasification of the NFL. When that happened, was Buffalo the number one place that really thought like that's awesome?
Is
there an oral history of Zubas?
There's a Wikipedia page.
Okay. What do you got?
I got that
one Great Lakes outpost bought 79% of all the Zubas gear. You know, like
1988, two professional wrestlers started it, but that's still not really marketing ideas. Okay, this is maybe why you can't do it. So those two, they own half the company. They did a deal with JCPenney. High-profile marketing deals with NFL players such as Dan Marino helped the pants become widely popular in the United States.
Okay.
I think if the Dolphins quarterback of all time is the guy that, you know, the part of it is supposed to be only Buffalo. And is this only Buffalo?
Can I give you that?
I'm sure, it seems the Buffalo does it way more than everybody else.
More on the Wikipedia page. Did you think we were going to talk about Zubas today? But here we go.
Or the history of Zubas,
they went
really.
Bankrupt in 1996, but brought the brand back. Another company bought the trademark rights in 2007. It came back, and in 2014, fully resurfaced, internet storefront, opened its first storefront in the fashion outlets of Niagara Falls. 2016, chose Western New York as its first brick-and-mortar location.
Okay.
Because of a popular association with the Bills.
Okay, they're the Bills.
They're the Zubas team.
Yep, okay. So even though it didn't start here, and Marino was involved like early in marketing, that's the Bills stuff.
Yeah. The fans of the franchise, yeah. It says this have been one of the brand's most loyal customer bases.
Okay, there you go.
From an article in the Buffalo News in 2016.
So if somebody's going to do Zubas, I think the Bills would have the right to it.
Is there a better idea?
But how much am I doing of Zubas? Am I putting it on the helmet? Am I putting it on the pants? Am I putting it on everything? Is it just going to be on the shoulders, the jersey? Like, how much am I putting on? Bills fans wear the pants. Should just the pants be Zubas? And the rest of it is kind of like a normal white Bills uniform?
You don't sell pants. They're selling gear.
Okay, right, yeah.
They're selling gear. You don't sell pants.
Right, they've already sold the pants. Everybody already owns the pants, so you don't need to sell more of them. A whole Zubas Bills jersey, I feel like. should they care about what the rest of the league thinks? People would turn on the Bills game that week and go, what on earth are they wearing?
I mean, maybe the numbers are Zubas.
It'd be tough to see.
I mean, the play-by-play man's nightmare.
Maybe.
But maybe, sure. I think you could do it.
This is
I'm trying to internally play this out in my own mind, like what the right way to do it would be. But I think there's a way to do it.
803-0550.
I think I still like the ice blue idea better, though.
You're still working on that in the image generator,
It won't give it to you. The logo or anything in ice blue. It keeps giving me the regular Bills blue, along with the jersey being more of like a gradient, ice blue and white. So I'm still working on it. These things aren't perfect.
Jim in Rochester. Hey, Jim.
Hey, so obviously there's not much sports news. You guys are off to the talking about jerseys and stuff.
This is sports news that the NFL is
making
new jerseys for the Buffalo Bills. So thanks.
Yeah, who cares?
We do. Thanks.
How about Devin Levi playing out of his mind? The Rochester Amherst going on to the Calder Cup, and Kyle Clegg, and the rest of the Amherst. What do you think of all that?
Well, we did open the show, the first segment of the show. If you want to rewind back to 6 a.m., the first segment was actually a lot about Devin Levi and whether or not we should plan for him next year, and the Sabres, should they plan for him? Because back-to-back shutouts and a win for the Amherst in that series, they swept the Crunch, and back-to-back shutouts for Levi.
Yep.
It's exciting.
And they're in the second round now. They'll play the winner of Laval and Cleveland.
Yes. So. And I am eager to just kind of count on Levi, wondering when that's actually going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm excited to go to a game. I haven't had a chance to yet. They're in the next round. That place has been full for the first two home games. They always play on weekends, which is nice. I like that.
In game two was a bunch of their young guys, Kulik, Roseanne, and Consta Hellenius, who was the pick this year in the draft, all scored in that game.
Yeah. He has to be careful with this, I think. But I talked with Amherst coach Mike Leone on Lockdown Sabres earlier in the week, and he compared Hellenius to Marchand.
Brad?
Yeah. Brad Marchand.
Like, in how many ways?
Like maybe a little, like what he looks like in the playoffs with, you know, scoring and creating chances and living in his opponent's heads and being physical. I think so he was fighting two of the Crunch players at the end of that game one.
He replaces former Sabres prospect and former Brad Marchand comparison, Matthew Picard. Remember him?
Mateusz Picard.
Yeah, okay, sure.
But he did that in development camp.
Okay, that's right.
This is at least in the AHL playoffs. And he said, reminds me of. He didn't say, like, he's Brad Marchand. So. Yeah. But yeah, he's been, I guess, really exciting through the first couple games.
Thanks, Jim. If you want to go back, opening segment, we talked about it quite a bit. Jimmy in Buffalo is next up. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
I just have a question about like how we just keep getting these one-year rental receivers. I feel like it's not really a good asset to our group. I don't know what you guys have thoughts on that, but Elijah Moore is good to our team, but what are your thoughts on these one-year rentals?
When it's an older player, you know, I'd like them to do something different. With Moore, it's a little different for me because I think if it smashes, which I think there is a little bit of a chance of, that you would want to bring him back in a year if he has if he has 50 catches for 800 yards and all the, you know, us pointing out the quarterbacks he's played with that have been terrible and the terrible organizations he's played with so far. If that is more the reason why he hasn't produced more than his own doing, then in a year I'm going to tell you I want them to pay him at 26 years old and bring him back. Yep. I don't know how much you're going to want to pay him. He's probably going to be if he were to do what I just said, 50 catches, 800 yards, he gets the Curtis Samuel contract, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know if they...
Like $8
million? I don't know. Can they afford another Curtis Samuel contract? Because on the cap... Whatever.
I mean, I think they can get rid of Curtis Samuel after like this year, if it doesn't work.
This is forever going to be a sensitive subject.
But all I mean to say is I like this one a little more than the previous rentals because I feel like there's more of a long-term potential relationship than there would have been with Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right. Well, with Moore, the guaranteed money is more than anybody else. Like, here's the funny thing. Not funny. Their receivers going into this year are already, I think, way better than they were going into last year. Last year at this time, we were talking ourselves into maybe Chase Claypool is a good buy low risk.
Who had seven catches the year before.
Yeah.
And was kicked off a team.
And then it was MVS, who they guaranteed some money to. And we thought, like, man, MVS, he drops the ball all the time. He plays with good quarterbacks, but he's just not very good. And he's a speed receiver that can get down the field, and they could never connect with him. This time last year, it was KJ Hamler's and Andy Isabella's. And I think right now, between Josh Palmer and, of course, like Amari Cooper wasn't on the team star last year. So between Josh Palmer and Elijah Moore, those are two receivers that I think have a more ability than the guys they brought in last year. Last year, it was also Mac Hollins. Like, okay, we'll see what kind of role he has. He ends up being a major contributor.
Really, again, the big difference between 1 year ago, I tweeted the other day about how, like, I think Palmer and Moore are more dangerous than Cooper and Hollins. But if I go back 1 year ago, we made a bet that was on that bet board. Were you on the side of five guys making the team? And who were the five guys?
That's right.
It was Shakir.
It was I bet who could make the team beforehand, that there was not really a battle. That we knew who was going to make the team.
But one of your guys was Claypool.
Yeah.
One of the guys on that team was Claypool, and another one was Mac Hollins.
Right. And Claypool didn't make it in part because he got hurt. It was day to day, and then it was injury settlement.
Right.
And then, like, Shavers was the next guy up who kind of made the team, or whatever, stuck around.
And this is where, like, you know, one of the annoying things that Bean is continuing to put out there is that we've never talked about Josh Palmer. Because Josh Palmer, to me, is the biggest catalyst for why they are better at that position right now than they were last year.
Yeah.
But another reason is that fifth guy. Last year, that fifth guy was Chase Claypool. And he was an exciting idea. But to me, Elijah Moore is much more trustworthy of an idea right now than Claypool was a year ago at this time.
To tell you, either you want to say whether it's because they're more desperate or there's more belief, you know, you can put whatever label you want. Claypool was guaranteed $25,000 at signing.
Right.
And Moore, we haven't seen the numbers yet.
But it's going to be in the millions.
It's going to be $3 million, $3.5 million, $4 million at signing, I think.
Sure.
Unless they kept him low and the incentives are very easy to gain, which they could be for him because, you know, he had no big numbers last year in one touchdown. He could have a two-touchdown, $2 million incentive. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Yeah, I think they're in a much better spot than they were this time last year. So that's a good start. And, of course, you know, Coleman, Kincaid, things they could glow up a little bit. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550. It's Jeremy and Joe on this Friday. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. I just saw he and Steve Palazzolo, they do a podcast called Check the Mic. And the title of their most recent episode on the Bills was "The Bills Are Building a Fortress on Defense." So we'll talk to Sam Monson about that and continue taking your calls here on a fun Friday, Fashion Friday, Football Friday, Devin Levi Friday, really whatever you want. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.